I entered, therefore, and found myself in a pretty large room, well lighted with wax candles. No glimpse of daylight was to be seen in it. It was a dressing room, as I supposed from the furniture, though much of it was of forms and uses then quite unknown to me. But prominent in it was a draped table with a gilded looking glass, and that I made out at first sight to be a fine lady's dressing table. Whether I should have made out this object so soon, if there had been no fine lady sitting at it, I cannot say. In an armchair, with an elbow resting on the table and her head leaning on that hand, sat the strangest lady I have ever seen or shall ever see. She was dressed in rich materials, satins and lace and silks, all of white. Her shoes were white, and she had a long white veil dependent from her hair, and she had bridal flowers in her hair, but her hair was white. Some bright jewels sparkled on her neck and on her hands, and some other jewels lay sparkling on the table. Dresses less splendid than the dress she wore and half-packed trunks were scattered about. She had not quite finished dressing, for she had but one shoe on. The other was on the table near her hand. Her veil was but half arranged, her watch and chain were not put on, and some lace for her bosom lay with those trinkets, and with her handkerchief and gloves and some flowers and a prayer book, all confusedly heaped about the looking-glass. It was not in the first few moments that I saw these things, though I saw more of them in the first moments than might be supposed. But I saw that everything within my view which ought to be white had been white long ago and had lost its lustre and was faded and yellow. I saw that the bride within the bridal dress had withered like the dress, and like the flowers, and had no brightness left but the brightness of her sunken eyes. I saw that the dress had been put upon the rounded figure of a young woman, and that the figure upon which it now hung loose had shrunk to skin and bone. Once I had been taken to see some ghastly waxwork at the fair, representing I know not what impossible personage lying in state. Once I had been taken to one of our old marsh churches to see a skeleton in the ashes of a rich dress that had been dug out of a vault under the church pavement. Now, waxwork and skeleton seemed to have dark eyes that moved and looked at me. I should have cried out if I could. "Who is it?" said the lady at the table. "Pip, ma'am." "Pip?" "Mr. Pumblechook's boy, ma'am, come to play." "Come nearer. Let me look at you. Come close." It was when I stood before her, avoiding her eyes, that I took note of the surrounding objects in detail and saw that her watch had stopped at 9:20 and that a clock in the room had stopped at 9:20. "Look at me," said Miss Havisham. "You are not afraid of a woman who has never seen the sun since you were born?" I regret to state that I was not afraid of telling the enormous lie comprehended in the answer, "No." "Do you know what I touch here?" she said, laying her hands, one upon the other, on her left side. "Yes, ma'am." It made me think of the young man. "What do I touch?" "Your heart." "Broken." She uttered the word with an eager look and with strong emphasis and with a weird smile that had a kind of boast in it. Afterwards, she kept her hands there for a little while and slowly took them away as if they were heavy. So, that's Miss Havisham from Great Expectations. And this is Carol Ann Duffy's poem, Havisham. "Beloved sweetheart bastard, not a day since then I haven't wished him dead. Prayed for it so hard, I've dark green pebbles for eyes. Ropes on the back of my hands I could strangle with. Spinster, I stink and remember. Whole days in bed calling no at the wall. The dress yellowing, trembling if I open the wardrobe. The slewed mirror, full length, her, myself, who did this to me. Puce curses that are sounds, not words. Some nights better, the lost body over me, my fluent tongue in its mouth, in its ear, then down till I suddenly bite awake. Love's hate behind a white veil, a red balloon bursting in my face. Bang! I stabbed at a wedding cake. Give me a male corpse for a long, slow honeymoon. Don't think it's only the heart that breaks.